If you open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew. But as we're still in the Christmas period, I want us to look at this account of the Magi in chapter 2, also known as the kings or the wise men. So Matthew chapter 2. But we'll see that truly wise men worship Jesus as their king. So if we all stand as we read the word of our Lord, Matthew chapter 2, from verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and asserted from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would speak to us this morning through your word. Reveal yourself to us, resulting in praise and adoration, worshipping Jesus as our King. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, I want to show you in this passage today that someone will only truly come to know Jesus when God reveals him to that person. And when God does reveal his son to you, it will always result in worship and adoration of Jesus. I'll show you this as we go through the text now. And so in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, we read, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem," Matthew, the disciple of Jesus, whom God inspired to write these words, he wants his readers to know who Jesus is. And Matthew is initially writing this to a Jewish audience, to whom God long ago promised that he would send a Messiah, or the Christ, which is basically the Greek word for the Messiah. And so throughout the pages of the Old Testament, the Jews were given prophecy after prophecy, telling them in detail about this coming Messiah, what he would be like when he came. And so when he finally did come into the world, we could be sure that he was the one, because he came and did exactly as God foretold he would do, as God foretold he would do, even hundreds and even thousands of years before. And so, what Matthew is highlighting to them here in this instance, just like in the previous chapter, he gave a long genealogy showing us that this Jesus is a descendant of a king. But not just any king, but he was a descendant of King David. From his line, the Messiah would be born. Well, Jesus, we are told here, was born in Bethlehem, which is David's town. Joseph and Mary, of course, returned there for the census ordered by the Caesar. And so, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, and this detail there, telling us where he's being born, in what days, this tells us something about the time of Jesus' birth. It was when Herod was on the throne. But this also reveals to us that these are not just mere stories here. You know, like people make stories, but these are real events that happened in history. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, take note of this, the author says. Behold this, don't miss this. Wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now, as to who these wise men were, or where exactly in the east they came from, whether they were Chaldeans or Arabians, or whether they heard of the Messiah, like many suggest, through the writings of Daniel, when the Jews were in that time in exile there, but we do not know. And this star that they saw, whether it was something supernatural, it certainly seems that way, as when you read on, when they get to Jerusalem, it appears they can't see it then. But when they go to Bethlehem after inquiring where the Messiah was to be born, the star appears again right over the place where Jesus is. So the star would appear to be something supernatural. Or whether it was just in the providence of God, in an aligning of the planets or stars, as some have suggested. Although that doesn't seem right to me, because although I've seen the sun glaring in my face, I've never had quite that effect with the other stars in the sky. But whatever it was, they knew that this star was his star. That this star was guiding them to where this king was. And they knew that this was not just any king, as they had come to worship this king at his birth. You don't travel by camel or on foot on a journey like this just to see any king. This was not announced in the news media that a royal family was having a baby. They had come quite a dangerous journey here to worship this king born to parents who were paupers. And no one else in Israel at this point in time, except for Mary and Joseph, and of course the shepherds who the angels announced it to, but no one else in Israel other than that knew he was even born at this time, or that he was to be born right then. Which is the first point of my sermon, and that is Jesus has to be revealed. You see, God, he supernaturally revealed Jesus to these wise men, these magi, these kings here, to cause them to go and seek him. And my point is this: unless God does this, unless God reveals Jesus, someone will not truly seek him. Because think about this. In verses 3 to 6 here, we read of the Jews, the chief priests and the scribes, experts in the scriptures. But they were not looking for and expecting Jesus. even though he was being born only a few miles away from them. What does this tell us? You see, this tells us that someone can be very religious like they were. You can have a lot of scriptural knowledge. I mean, those guys, some of them would have had the whole of the Old Testament memorized. I struggle to memorize a psalm. They had the whole of the Old Testament. But it's all head knowledge. They're not seeking, they've missed the one whom it's about. I mean, Herod in verse 4, after being troubled by the news of the coming Messiah in the previous verse, it then says he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. I mean, that guy Herod, he obviously did not have a clue. He didn't know what the scriptures about were it told where he was to be born. But in verses 5 and 6, we read, they told him, the religious experts, the theologians, in Bethlehem of Judea. That's the place where he is to be born, they told him. And they tell Herod exactly how they know this. For it is written by the prophet in the Old Testament, God foretold it, he would be born here. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So as they quote these religious experts, such a profound verse there, they quote it like it's, you know, the answer to a quiz question in a Christmas Bible trivia quiz. I mean, wouldn't you have thought that after being caught off their guard as to the time of the coming Messiah, wouldn't you have thought that after learning through hearing through these wise men that the Messiah's here, wouldn't you have thought they'd say, the Messiah's here, we'll come with you and check him out for ourselves? You see, the head knowledge of Scripture is just head knowledge, dead knowledge to them, a mix of legalism and lawlessness and rituals and debating. You see, what this tells us is you can have a lot of scriptural knowledge, you can be very outwardly religious, but unless God supernaturally reveals Jesus to you for you to seek him, then you'll be damned. Now listen, this does not give someone an excuse not to seek him. A right response to this truth is to beg of God to reveal his son to you and the salvation in him. Seek and you shall find, everyone who asks receives. Now, as I said, this star could have been supernatural or it could have been something in God's providence, but either way, there is something supernatural going on here, in that these men are willing to travel such a long and dangerous journey to worship a king at his birth, born in rather strange and humble circumstances. I mean, think about this. They did not come wondering whether or not this king even was. But they came knowing he had been born, and they came to worship him. You see, my point again is someone only truly seeks God when he seeks you first. They're seeking him, but God has sought them first and revealed. If you remember Zacchaeus, that little man in Luke, when he heard the news that Jesus was coming to town, at first he couldn't see him because of the crowd in the way. He was only a little man, but Zacchaeus, that was not going to stop him. He was desperate to get to Jesus, and so he ran ahead of the crowds and he climbed up in the sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he knew he was passing that way. But when the Lord got there, it says he looked up to Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, he called him by name and told him, come down, for today I must stay at your house. You see, the point is, Zacchaeus thought he was the one seeking Jesus, and he really was. He was desperate to get to him, but only because Jesus was seeking him. I love that scene in the film about William Wilberforce, who led the abolition of slavery in Great Britain. Amazing Grace is the name of the film. Some of the things in the film are out of order, but there is a scene where you have him lying in the field, just overflowing with joy, and a steward of his house comes out to him, and Wilberforce tells him, he's found God, I found God. So the steward says, you found God, sir. To which Wilberforce replies, I think he found me, actually. You see, no one truly seeks God unless God reveals himself to you. Unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. When God opens a person's eyes, again, this shouldn't make someone think, well, I'll just go on in sin then. This should cause people to beg of God to open their eyes. You see, like these Jews here, you can have a lot of religion, do a lot of rituals, a lot of religious activity, have a lot of knowledge of the scripture, give alms, but you'll only truly see Christ when he reveals himself to you first. And when that happens, you will seek him. And these wise men here, the Greek word is magi. Some have suggested these were astronomers or astrologers due to them following a star. Some have suggested they were kings, and maybe they were. But the word used here, let's get that water. But the word used here is actually the same word that's used in the book of Acts for a sorcerer, like Simon. The sorcerer. It's the word, it's where we get the word magician from, magi, magician. And everywhere else in the New Testament, or even in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's used as an evil word. You see, my point is the first people who came to greet the Lord here and traverse afar are sinners. They're the last people they would have expected. You see, whilst the religious elite don't see the need for him because they think they're good enough, but these sinners come to Jesus here. And notice, on realizing who Jesus is, they are not coming to inquire about him as to who he is. They already know that. They are not going around Jerusalem saying, who is this Jesus we've come for? They are saying, we know who he is. We want to find him. Because when God opens people's eyes to who Jesus is, this always leads to people coming to worship him. He is the hidden treasure in the field, and that when people stumble across him, they will gladly part with anything in life to have him. He's the pearl of great price, that when someone sees him for who he is, they'll find him so valuable that they want him more than anything else. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. Which is the next thing that I want to point out that Matthew highlights here. In verse 11, it says, and when going into the house, when they finally found where Jesus was, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Don't miss this, because worship in the Bible is reserved for God alone. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and Satan came to him and said, bow down and worship me, Jesus answered him there by quoting the Old Testament scripture, saying, "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall worship." In Revelation, when the Apostle John saw this great and glorious angelic being, his natural reaction, John's reaction, was to fall down and start worshiping it. But the angel rebuked John, saying, "Get up, worship is reserved for God alone." You see, what Matthew is highlighting here is this Messiah is God. In bodily form, deity dwells. Now, this child did not come into existence like you and I when we were conceived and born, but Jesus has always existed. He is the God who made the world, creator has become creature. But above all that here, Matthew is highlighting that this Jesus is to be worshipped. Bow down before him in adoration. Again, he doesn't tell us very much about these wise men, except they came from afar to worship him. The wise men are not the focus of the story. You see, this Jesus is to be worshipped. Here's his point. It's no good knowing about Jesus if you don't come to worship him. Like we sung there, "Fall on your knees, receive the gift of heaven. O night divine, O night when Christ was born." But verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, when he heard the news that the wise men were in Jerusalem saying that they had seen a star, the star of the Messiah, and they was inquiring where he was to be born. When Herod the king heard this, it says, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was troubled when he heard of the coming Messiah because he saw him as a potential rival to his throne. And when word was going about to the people of Jerusalem, it says, and all Jerusalem with him were troubled. The people were troubled. They were no doubt troubled because they figured a new Jewish king could make trouble for them with the Romans, which could make their life hard. But whatever way you look at this, they were all troubled by the news of the arrival of the Messiah. Why? Well, because they did not want him to interfere with their lives. And this is the same for many, many people today. They don't want to seek Jesus. They don't want to properly hear about him because they don't want him to interfere with their lives. You know, like these Jewish people here, they might very happily have a bit of religion here and there, but they don't want another king coming in who they have to bow the knee to because they want to do things their own way and live for self. But no, like these wise men here, may have well been kings themselves, remember, you have to come off your own throne and bow the knee before him. We've looked at verses 4-6, when Herod assembled all the chief priests and the scribes inquiring about the place of Christ's birth, and they told him Bethlehem, for it was written in the scriptures, showing it once again it's a fulfillment of prophecy. And so after this, in verse 7, we read, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. How long ago did you see this star? It appears that Herod is trying to work out the age of this child, thinking it's just a baby at this point. I can send soldiers to kill him, as he later tried to do. But like so many, he thought he could just easily dismiss Jesus here. Like so many people do today, thinking they can easily do away with God and they won't have to bother about him again. But that's not the case. And notice verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come to worship him." Now, obviously, Herod was being deceitful there. He had no intention of worshiping Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus' whereabouts in order to try and kill him. But my question is this. The journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem is only a few miles. He could have traveled there in the best chariot. Why didn't Herod go along with them and go and visit himself? You see, his whole eternity, where he spends it, is riding upon this person, this coming Messiah. But like a lot of people, he can't even be bothered to properly look into Jesus himself. All he can do is send a few others with ulterior motives. You see, again, like many people who are not prepared to come to the Word of God themselves to seek out Jesus for themselves, or if they do, it's they'll just want to know from others with ulterior motives to try and reject him. Well, verse 9, after listening to the king, they, the wise men, went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They knew they had found him now, the one they were looking for. They knew they had found the one whom they had been made for. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Now, Jesus was initially born in a stable, which would have been attached to the house in those days, because, of course, there were no room in the inn because of all the people coming to for the census. But by now, he's living in a house because, as you'd naturally expect, many others had come into the town for the census, but they would have come and gone. And so room is now available. And their response on seeing him, verse 11 continues, "And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." These gifts are kingly in nature. Kingly gifts. They are not gifts that you would normally give to a baby who was born, especially one born in an animal's feeding trough. But again, the scribes and the chief priests, with all the Bible knowledge and all the pomp, religious ceremony, are not the ones bringing these gifts. But Gentiles, non-Jews, are the ones bringing these gifts. You see, after showing the readers that this Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, the Christ promised, Matthew is highlighting here that Jesus is not the Savior of the Jews only who will believe, but he is the Savior of the whole world who will believe. You see, it doesn't matter what race you are from, that's not what gets a person to heaven. You can be very religious like these Jews here, but it's of no avail unless you come and bow the knee before Christ and worship him as Lord. And these gifts are prophetic here in that gold, showing Christ is king. He is the true king, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It's amazing how many people hope to go to heaven on the basis of, "Have I done enough? Have I done enough?" But you'll never get there like that. You must crown him with many crowns. That's what the redeemed will say. The Lamb upon his throne. Is Christ your king? Is he the king of your life? Is he the king of your salvation? And frankincense here. If not, make him. Frankincense here, which was offered up in the temple, representing Christ's deity. And myrrh, prophetic of his death. They would this would be used in embalming someone to prepare the body for burial. That he was coming to die for our sins. prophetic of. You see, this child in the manger here was God in flesh. And the King of the universe is the one who would come and die for the sins of his people to make them right with him once and forever. And verse 12, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. God now warns these magi here to save them from the Jews, to save them from Herod and his men. Depart from the other way. Matthew again is announcing here that Jesus is not just the savior of the Jews who will believe, but he's the savior of the world, these Gentiles. Even these magi had to be saved from Herod by a revelation of God. A picture of they had to be saved for their salvation, as they have been. So let me close then by asking you this. Is this Jesus your savior? Is he your Messiah? Is he your king? Does he sit on the throne of your life? Did he die for you personally upon that cross? And so all your sins, every one of them, has been atoned for. Not because of anything you've done. That's to be your own savior. But to have all your sins atoned for solely because of him and what he's done for you. Let me put it another way. Do you worship Christ? Have you come to worship him? Not to merely gain knowledge of the scriptures or to do your bit by coming to church. Why did you come here this morning? To seek him? I hope. Why do you do what you do from day to day? Is it just for yourself? Or is it to worship him? You see, if you want eternal life, there's no other way. You must fall on your knees before Christ as Lord. Come to worship him as your God, believing his promise that he has atoned for your sins, every single one of them. If you will do that, if you will fall before Christ as your Lord, believing that he came, when he came and died for you to pay the debt for your sins and make you right with God at his judgment, then he will do that right now, this day. He says, he who comes to me for his salvation, he will in no wise cast out. He will not refuse any. So believe him. Fall on your knees. Come like these wise men here. The truly wise person worships Jesus as their king. You must do also. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you that you were willing to save all who will come to you. And I pray that through this word, you would draw people to yourself, to your Son, in Jesus' name, and your salvation. Amen. We'll stand and sing.